Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Beis, and we will begin in Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph on the third line, end of the third line. Amalu Rava Bar Rav Shila Lahanik Sivish Darek Niyaisa. Rabbi Rav Shila said to those individuals who wrote Shtoris, Kik Sivish Darek Niyaisa, when you write such a document, if you know exactly the date where this kinyan took place, ksuvu, that is what you should use as the date in the shtar. Obviously, we're referring to a situation where we're not writing the shtar exactly as the transaction is taking place. Because if it's being written exactly as the transaction is taking place, we know what today's date is. Rather, here it's referring to a situation that the shtar is being written after the transaction took place. And he says, if you are exactly aware the date of that transaction, that's what you should write into the shtar. If you're aware of the date that it was written, ksuvu, that's the date that you should put into the shtar. And it's not considered a shtar mugdam, because that's exactly the date that it took place. However, if you don't recall the date when this transaction took place, ksuva yoimid kamaisabay, put in the date that today's date, kehecha blay mesazik yishikra, another date will look like you're putting in a date that's not true. So Tosfos and the Rashbam say that our Gemara is referring to a shtar mekach and a shtar matana. Where there the halacha is that since when the sale takes place, or when a gift is given, everybody's aware of that transaction. So even though we're here today, and we're writing about something that happened a while ago, doesn't bother us. There is no issue, because that is the truth. It happened that day, and there was an adequate publicity that everybody should know that it happened that day, and therefore we could write that day. If we don't recall what that day is, write today's date. But by shtar halva, which we've learned many times, the concept that it's the eidim that give publicity to a loan. So if a loan took place whenever, and the shtar wasn't written then, and we're writing today the document of that loan, writing an earlier date would not be permitted, even though it actually took place on that day. Because it's the shtar that gives it the publicity, that because of the publicity, there's now a lien on all the property. So I can only put in a date in the shtar when the eidim signed it. That's Tosfos' opinion. Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees. Rabbeinu Chananel says that this is referring to all situations, even to shtar hava. Again, we learn this Gemara and we assume that this Gemara is not relevant to Halacha Lamaisa. But it is. I saw the Paiskim discuss an interesting shaila, which could very easily happen. A couple, Baruch Hashem, get married, and at the wedding, we know a ksuba is prepared. A couple of days later, they're looking at the ksuba, and they realize there's a mistake in the ksuba. And the ksuba has to be rewritten. It's not a big deal to rewrite a ksuba. The question is, what date should be put into the ksuba? Should the date of the marriage be put into the ksuba? Hopefully, they remember their anniversary, so they remember the date of the ksuba, or they put in today's date. Based on the explanation that we just gave, that certainly in a situation where it was publicity when the event being recorded in the shtar took place, we could certainly write in the date of the ksuba of the marriage, because everybody knows that that's the day that they got married. The Rashba says that when, given that we have two types of situations, we have sometimes that we're writing a shtar with the date of the transaction, and sometimes we write the date that it's being written, and sometimes we have the shtar that's written on the date of the actual transaction. Says the Rashba, the text of those two shtaros is a different text. When we're writing that the kinyan took place on that day, we should write in the shtar, this was the day of the kinyan. Whereas if we're writing that this is the day that the shtar was written, but it's not the day that the actual transaction took place, we should write in the shtar that this is the day the shtar was written, but now we should be clear. However, the Taz says that even though l'chatchila, one should follow what the Rashba says, but the Yevid, if you didn't write the different text for the different situations, the shtar is kosher. Another interesting machloikes paiskim is as follows. Let's say there was a transaction that took place in Tishrei. I just don't remember which day in Tishrei. But certainly by Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, this transaction took place. And now I'm already in the middle of Chodesh Cheshvan. Could I write that the transaction took place on certainly by Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan? Because I don't know if it took place on the first day of Tishrei, on the 15th day of Tishrei, on the 30th day of Tishrei, but I know it took place in Tishrei. So writing Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is certainly a safe bet. Or is the Gemara only giving us two options? Either the date of the transaction, or the date that you're writing the shtar. Picking another date, saying that it's just a safe bet, is unacceptable. It's interesting, machlok v'sapoyskim, what you can do. Continues the Gemara. Amal Rav Safra, Rav L'Safra, Rav would tell his soifrim, Ken Amal Rav Huna L'Safra, and so too would Rav Huna say to his soifrim, Ki kiyamta b'shili, if you're writing shtar b'shili, k'suva b'shili, write that the shtar was written in shili, even though the actual transaction might have taken place in Hini. On the other hand, if you're standing in Hini, ksuvu, write into the shtar that the transaction took place in Hini, afgav the mesira l'chumila b'shili, even though the actual transaction took place in Shili. So the posh pshat in the Gemara is that, as the Rishonim say, Shili and Hini were two cities that were right next to each other. So what's the big difference? If I write Shili and Hini, given that the instructions were in one city and the transactions were in the other city, teaches us the Gemara, no. Because Mechsi Keshikra, because we're concerned that it appears not true if you don't write the city where it actually took place, you have to be careful to write the right city in the shtar. That's Posh Pshat in the Gemara. Other pshat that the Rishonim suggests, that the l'chatchila thing to do here is to write both cities. Say that the transaction took place in this city, but the shtar was written in the other city. A third pshat that I saw in the Rishonim, connected to Rajba's opinion that I just quoted, we just learned at the beginning of our shir that sometimes in the shtar you write about the transaction taking place. And sometimes you write in the shtar that where the shtar was, about the date the shtar was written. So it depends. If the shtar is a shtar, we were referring to the transaction, so we refer to the city where the transaction took place. If it's a shtar that's referring to where the writing of the shtar, the date of the writing of the shtar, so we have to write it to the shtar, the city in which the shtar was written. The Rishonim give a number of reasons why we're so careful about writing the right city into the shtar. The first pshat, which I said a moment ago, is because it's mechsik shikra. If you don't write the accurate city where you actually wrote the shtar. Second pshat that the Rishonim suggests, we've learned many times, and we will continue learning, that there's a concept of kiyum shtaros. You have to certify a shtar. How is a shtar certified? The way a shtar is certified is by bringing the edim and telling them, are these your signatures? So it's important to know where the shtar was written, so that's where the edim are, so if I need to find those edim to verify their signature, I should be able to find them easily because I know where they live, because you take edim ostensibly from where the shtar is being written. A third shot that I saw is that we should be able to do hazama. If the edim are signed on a shtar, and the shtar was signed in Manhattan on this date, and then we say, how could you have possibly signed the shtar in Manhattan on this date? You were with us in Eretz Yisrael. They could be Muslim. But if the place that the shtar is written is not accurately described in the shtar, so we can never do hazama. We know that being able to do hazama is essential to the capability or the qualification of the edim. So the first pshat we said, that what's the reason that you have to be accurate in the shtar, is because of mechsi kishikra. There's a very interesting machlokes rishonim. We know the Torah mentions in a number of places how it's usher to say a lie, it's prohibited to say a lie. Midvash HaKaterkok, Maksa Shakru, a number of places the Torah speaks about the prohibition of saying a lie. The question that there is, the Machlokes Rishonim, is that the isser of saying a lie, is it only in a situation where there are repercussions from the lie? Or is the isser of saying a lie only where just saying a lie, even if there's nobody get hurt from you saying a lie. It's interesting. The opinion of the Rambam is that a lie is midaraisa, avad midrabbanan, you always also to lie. And the Sifrei Musar speak about it at great length, what lying does to a person. But the Rambam's opinion is the lying midaraisa is only asr when the repercussions, such as lying in Bezdin or lying in a business transaction where people could get hurt. But just saying a lie that won't cause damage is not asr midaraisa, it's asr midrabbanan. The Yad Ramah says from our Gemara we see that the Gemara gave a number of situations that you're not allowed to say something in the Shtar which is inaccurate, even because it's Mechsi Keshikra, even though there may not be any detrimental implications from that lie. So Yad Ramah says from here we see that Sheker is prohibited even when there are no repercussions from that lie. Continues the Gemara. Amarov, Haiman the Shtokat Shtar Ben Meizuzi. There's a malva that's holding on to a document that says that a loiva owes him 100 zuz. Vama, and he tells Bezdin. There's two pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. One pshat is that the shtar has not yet been written. Because we learned in our previous year that once a shtar is written, the Adam's job is over. So at that point, you can't go back and say that rewrite the shtar. Their job is over. And therefore, the Rishonim have two ways of understanding the Gemara. One way is that the shtar hasn't been completed. So since the shtar hasn't been completed, as we learned yesterday, the Edom still have ability to write the shtar. Or the Gemara is not speaking that he's speaking to Edom. He goes to Bezdin. And he tells Bezdin, V'mishavya nili trei b'nei chamshin chamshin. Instead of the shtar being 100 zuz shtar, turn it into 250 zuz shtar. The Allah is like Mishvin and we don't listen to him. So again, the Mefarshim try to understand, what's the case here? I borrowed from you $100. A shtar of 100 zuz was, 100 zuz. A shtar of 100 zuz was written. Why would we think that you could just go rewrite the shtar into two $50 shtars? On what circumstances? So I saw a number of pshatim in the Mefarshim. The Yad Ramah says that the Gemara here is referring to a situation as follows. I borrowed from you 100 zuz. The shtar was not yet written. Now you go to Bezdin and say to Bezdin, instead of writing the shtar that he owes me 100 zuz, do me Bezdin write 250 zuz shtar. The shtar hasn't been written, and you say I would prefer, and we'll see why you would prefer that. You would prefer to have 250 zuz shtars written rather than 100 zuz shtar written. That's the Yad Ramah pshat. Durim v'tumim says our Gemara refers back to a situation where we discussed in the Mishnah previously in our parak. Our Gemara is referring to a situation that the shtar got erased. That the Mishnah clearly taught us that you could rewrite the shtar. So here you had a shtar that I owe you 100 zuz. That shtar got erased. So as we learned, you have a right to go to Bezdin to have that shtar rewritten. And you request a Bezdin that instead, you're rewriting the shtar anyway. So instead of Bezdin, you're rewriting the shtar. So instead of rewriting it as 100 zuz shtar, do me a favor, write it as 250 zuz shtars. So the halacha is we don't do it. My tama, says the Gemara, why? Says the Gemara, of the Rabbanim Nilsa, the Nichalei Lamalva, the Nichalei Laloiva. Chazal made a rule that is to the benefit of the Malva and the Loiva. The Gemara explained itself. Nichalei Lamalva, Kadesh Yokuf Laparai. Which means as follows. As we learned earlier in the Perek, if you have 100 zuz shtar against me, and I pay you off 50 zuz, so what did Rabbi Yossi say is done? A shiver, a receipt is written that I still owe you 50 zuz. I paid you 50 zuz, and I still owe you 50 zuz, but you have 100 zuz shtar, which puts, as we said, pressure on me. What's the pressure? Because I have to protect that shiver. Because if I lose that shiver, you have 100 zuz shtar. And we're anxious that I should pay you up. Chazal are anxious that I should pay you up. How will they get me to pay you up? By putting the pressure on me. Say to Mepharshim, from here we see, no, one more minute, v'nichal leiva keich denifkim shtari, which means as follows. The halacha is that if I pay you, if you have a shtar of 100 zuz against me, and I pay you off 50 zuz, so that shtar now is called a shtar pogam. Why is it shtar pogam? Because the face of the shtar says that I owe you 100 zuz, but I actually owe you 50 zuz. And the halacha is that whenever somebody's coming to claim a debt with a shtar pogum, before I pay him, I could demand that he swear. So it's to me the loiva's advantage that this turned into a shtar pogum. If it's going to be 250 zuz shtar, so when I pay you off 50 zuz, you're left with a shtar of 50 zuz, which is not a shtar pogum. But I, the loiver, prefer that you have a shtar pogum, because it puts me in a stronger position. Now you're going to have to swear. And Chazal wanted me to have that, me, the loiver, to have that advantage. So say to Mepharshim, an issue that we discussed previously. From here we see that you, let's say I owe you 100 zuz, and I'm ready to pay you 50 zuz. The halach is you have to take the 50 zuz. You can't say, you know what? I don't want the 50 zuz until I get my whole money. Why? Because what's the Gemara saying? That I could turn this into a shtar pogum. How could I turn it into a shtar pogum? Because you have 100 zuz shtar against me and I give you 50 zuz. But if you don't have to accept that payment, how will I turn it into a shtar pogum? Is a raya that I could demand that you take that shtar, even that 50 zuz, even though it will create a situation that now your shtar is only a shtar pogum. You can't say, I don't want the money until I get all the money. Continues the Gemara along the same lines. You have two, the way the loan was written, it was written that it's 250 zuz shtar. And now he says, instead of it being 250 zuz shtars, let's turn it into shavino nili chad bar meya. Let's turn it into 100 zuz shtar. The halach is, we don't do it. And again, the Gemara explains why. Of Rabban Milsa, the nichle le malva, the nichle le loiva. Chazal made rules that are to the benefit both of the malva and the loiva. Nichle le malva, kechdele nefkishtari, as we just explained. You, the malva, prefer 250 zuz shtars. Because if I'll pay you back 50 zuz, especially with the explanation that we just gave, that you have to accept that payment. So if you have 100 zuz shtar, now you have a shtar pogum, that you're going to have to swear for further payment. If you have 250 zuz shtaris, you don't have a shtar pogum, doesn't require you make a shvua. The nichle leloiva, kadesh layokaf leparay. If you have 250 zuz shtaris, and I pay off 50 zuz, so as we learned, one shtar will rip up, and the other shtar you'll keep, but I won't have to watch a shoiva. Whereas if it's 100 zuz shtar, and I give you 50 zuz, what do I get according to the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yossi? A shoiva, which I have to protect, which puts pressure on me to pay you off quicker. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, hay man de nokut shtar bar mei zuzi. If somebody holding a shtar of 100 zuz, v'am shavinu nili chad bar chamshin, and you say, you walk into Bezdin, you're a malva, and there's a shtar that says I owe you 100 zuz, and you tell Bezdin, you know what? Take the 100 zuz shtar and make it a 50 zuz shtar. Loi meshvinalei, Bezdin won't do it. Answered my tama. I mean it, hay mefepari. What happened here really is, we had this concept in the previous year. The shtar says I owe you 100 zuz. I come to you and I pay you to pay you the 100 zuz. When I come to pay you the 100 zuz, as we learned, the halach is, v'amali havli shtaroi. I pay you up the money, give me back my shtar. V'amali, and you say, ichasli, I lost the shtar. And as we learned in the previous year, what is the din then? V'kosle tavra. So, the Gemara said, ever loiva lishmalva. We don't want to put you in a position that you won't get your money. You claim you lost your shtar. You give me a shiver. Or mapaklei hai, and now you have a 50 zuz shtar. And the halacha is, v'amalei hai chrinahu. You'll say, this is not that loan, because that loan was a 100 zuz loan. And the shiver says that I paid you up 100 zuz. But this shtar is not 100 zuz, it's 50 zuz. And therefore you'll be able to rip me off, perhaps with 50 zuz. So the machlokes reshoinim, what would be the halacha where Edim are certain that I didn't pay you up yet? Will the halacha still remain the same? That here, there's no concern that you're going to cheat me. Because I didn't give you anything. So actually you're giving me a big gift. The 100 zuz shtar is turning into 50 zuz shtar. Or did Chazal say that once there's a shtar in place, it should not be tampered, even if it's to the loiva's benefit? As we begin the next Mishnah, the Rishayim already point out, at first glance, it's difficult to understand how this Mishnah comes into this parak. But Mitzvah Hashem, Be'ezer Hashem, will try to see what the Rishayim explain, how we could fit this Mishnah into our parak. We actually learned many of the sugyas that are relevant to this Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Yud Gimel. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Achim, you have two brothers, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher. One is poor and one is wealthy. And as we'll see in a moment, it's not specifically that the person, the one brother, is really poor. He's poor in the sense of what the Mishnah discusses. V'nechlem aviyem, their father left for them a merchatz, bathhouse, or the father left for them a beis habad, the father left for them an olive press. So asr l'schar, if this was a business that was used to rent out, so that continues after the father dies, they rent it out, and whatever profit, haschar l'emtza, these two brothers share. However, asr l'atzmai, and there's machlokes rishonim to understand what asr l'atzmai means. The Rashbam explains asr l'atzmai to mean that the father, when he built this base, merchatz, or built the base abad, built it for his own personal use. He didn't build it for commercial use. So according to the Rashbam's understanding, the sons, when they inherit this bathhouse, have to continue using it for that purpose. And they can't rent it out commercially. Tosfos has a different approach. He says, what's the difference what the father used it for? He says certain bathhouses are small, and it's obvious that those bathhouses are only made for personal use, whereas other bathhouses are larger, and it's obvious that they're made for commercial use. Here we're referring to a bathhouse which is small, which is obviously made for personal use. Asr l'atzmai, if we have such a small bathhouse, harei asher omer la'ani, so the wealthy brother could say to the poor brother, kach l'chavadim v'yichrutzu b'merchatz, as far as I'm concerned, you could take your family, you could take your slaves to the smerchatz. Kach l'chazesim, above us, say b'beis abad. Bring your olives and squeeze them. You don't have? It's not my problem. So how does this fit into this, to our parak? So Rishonim explained. We just finished learning a concept that, and we just discussed it a moment ago actually, where I borrow money from you, and I don't have the ability, and I pay you up partially, or you lose the shtar, the halacha is you write the shoiver. You're the one that's happy about the writing of the shoiver. The mouth is happy about the shoiver being written, and the loiv is unhappy. But that's how life is. Sometimes people are happy, and some people are unhappy. The same case here, we have a wealthy brother and a poor brother. Now we understand he doesn't have to be poor. He just doesn't have slaves. He just doesn't have olives. The wealthy brother is happy, and the poor brother is unhappy. That's what happens sometimes in life. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, there is a concept of Gura Agud. Gura Agud means that when you have such a situation of two partners, or two brothers, one brother could say to the other brother, buy me out, or I'll buy you out. Clearly, our mission is not such a situation, because we're talking about a poor brother. And the only time we say Gura Agud is when the brother has to be able to fulfill both options. Either you buy me out or I buy you out. Hence, he's an oni here. He can't say it. But here we have a machlokes rishonim, Rambam and Rosh. The Rambam says that if the poor brother turns around to the wealthy brother and says, I don't have the cash to buy you out, but I'll buy you out on credit, the Rambam says that that's still considered good or agud, and that's considered a situation of good or agud. The Rosh disagrees. He says there's enough gemina if it's like our gemara, where it's a small bathhouse, where you're there, you don't say it, versus it's a commercial bathhouse, you can't say it. The Sma, however, says that even though our Mishnah is teaching us that the two brothers, the wealthy brother could tell the poor brother, either you could use it the same way I can't, I could use it, you have nobody to use it for, it's not my problem, does say the Sma that the poor brother does have the ability to say the following. Instead of dividing it, the both of us use it every day, we could divide it that some days are mine and some days are yours, and the days that are mine, if I, the poor brother, am able to find people who will use it and pay me for it, the wealthy brother cannot stop me. Continues the Mishnah. Shnaim shayubir achas. You are two individuals in the same city. Shem echad Joseph ben Shimon. The name of one brother is interesting. Before we go further, there's a very interesting tshuva from the Chassam Sofer based on this Mishnah. That the Mishnah essentially teaches us in the first din, the life isn't always fear. He says, there was a community that was building a mikveh. And there were people in the community who were elderly people, and their wives didn't need the mikveh anymore. The halacha is, they still have to contribute to the mikveh. He doesn't need the mikveh. He says it's no different than the poor brother that doesn't need the bathhouse. And everybody has to contribute to the mikveh. Continues the Mishnah. Shnayim shayu be'achas. You have two people that were in the same city. Shem echad Yosef ben Shimon. The name of one brother is Yosef ben Shimon. Shem achad Yosef ben Shimon. And the name of the other brother, and the other individual, not a brother, his name is Yosef ben Shimon. So here we have a problem. Every shtar, we don't know who is the malva, who's the loiva, because they have the exact same name. And the Mefarshim explained, here we're referring to a situation that no longer in the same city. Shahayu birachas. Doesn't make a difference. As long as at one point they lived in the same city, we have a concern. We don't know who's who. The Tzais discusses that Amish is saying that they're in the same city. What would be the halacha if you have two individuals who are Yosef and Shimon, but one Yosef and Shimon lives in this city, and another Yosef and Shimon lives in another city? So Pasha Pshat the Tzais says that if the Shtar was written in this city, we could assume that it's the Yosef ben Shimon from this city who wrote the Shtar, not the Yosef ben Shimon from another city. But then the Tzais is not so certain about that. And he says that when it comes to Dine Issa v'Heter, we spoke about the situation when you find a piece of meat, so Halach is Roy v'Karev, if you find a piece of meat, Roy v'the pieces of meat in the world are treif, but all the pieces of meat from this city are kosher, so we follow Karev. He says that may be a Halacha only in Issa v'Heter. But by Dine Mamnis, since people do business not only with the people of their city, we don't necessarily follow Karev, and it could be that just because in this city there's only one person with that name, we could be certain it means that individual. So again, Shnayim Shayibir Achas, you have two individuals in the same city, Shem Echad Yosef Ben Shimon, Shem Achad Yosef Ben Shimon, they both have the same name, they can't put Shtar Chayiv this one on the other, because we always have to be concerned who's the Malva and who's the Loiva. They could be never lamed as a loiva, the shtar. Because you'll come to me, and I'll say, it's not me, it's him, so vice versa. If somebody has a document that says that he paid off Yosef and Shimon, but we don't know, he borrowed from both Yosef and Shimon's, and we don't know which one he paid up, since we don't know who you paid up, you have to assume that you paid up both. So how could these two people coexist? So the halacha is Yishalshu. You should write the father's name. So you should write Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. That's how we're able to differentiate between the two Yosef ben Shimons. However, says the Gemara, Himayim Mishloshim, they both have the exact same three generations. Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. So Yichtav Simon. They should write a Simon. This one's the short one, the tall one. The Mayim Simonim, if they look the same. So the halacha is Yichtav Koyin. They should write, this one's a Koyin, this one's not. Many issues to discuss here. One issue that the Rishonim to say is that if there's two Yosef and Shimons in the city, but one is a godel, one's an adult and one's a cotton, we could assume that the shtar is from the godel, because ketanim don't do business. Another piece of advice that Chazal give us, how to avoid this problem, is have them sign the shtar. Since everybody's signature is distinct, so that will be a way of knowing who is the writer of the shtar. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that if they have the same names three generations, go up to four generations? Some Mefarshim say that typically people don't know the Yichas so well, the genealogy so well, to know all the way up to four generations. The Chassam Sofer asks, why doesn't the Mishnah give us a simple answer? If they have the same names of the fathers, so let them write their mother's names. Maybe they don't have, their mothers don't have the same name. Some Sofer says a very interesting answer. Some Sofer says that the Gemara, for example, speaks about Mori ben Rachel. Who was Mori ben Rachel? Mori ben Rachel is called by his mother's name because his father was a guy. So if somebody signs his name with his mother's name, people have been concerned there's something wrong with his yichus. Why is he using his mother's name, not his father's name? That's why Chazal didn't give us the suggestion of writing the mother's name. What would be the halacha? If you have two shtaris, do you have two individuals, Yosef ben Shimon in the city, but you have Edom that come and say that we know that it's this Yosef ben Shimon, not the other Yosef ben Shimon. So it's machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim say that it'll be considered a full-fledged milva b'ksav. Others say it'll only be considered like a milva al peh. The Magen Mishnah seems to make a compromise. He says it matters how the shtar was written. If it was written that I Yosef ben Shimon, then it'll be considered a milva b'ksav. If it'll be written that Yosef ben Shimon, then it'll be considered a milva al peh. Ramosha, in the Tshuvas, says that nowadays we have a very simple way of dealing with this, putting in the family name. And he says that even though the halacha is, by Gittin, we're very careful not to put in a family name. Why? Because we know when a get is written, you write a mechuna. You write all the nicknames of the person, not just the name, his real name, but all the names he's called by. A family name is not a kinui. And in order to avoid that it be not written properly, we avoid writing a family name in a get. Says Ramash, that's only by get. By all other documents, he says it's a good etzah to write in the family name because of this issue. The Rishonim discuss about the following situation. Is the following considered a simon? You wrote into the shtar Yosef ben Shimon Shlita. The question is, who's the Shlita referred to? The father or Yosef? Because let's say you have two Yosef ben Shimons in the city. But one Shimon is not alive, and one Shimon is alive. So do we say that the Shlita goes on the father? So by writing Yosef ben Shimon Shlita, it'll be a great simon. This is the Yosef ben Shimon whose father is still Baruch Shem alive, versus the other Yosef ben Shimon whose father is no longer alive. Or can we say that the Shlita goes back to the Yosef? And if it goes back to the Yosef, both Yosefs are alive, and it wouldn't be a good simon. The Rishonim bring rayas from Sukkim the Torah, that the Shlita could go back to the Yosef. The Pasuk says, one raya that I remember the Rishonim say, it says by Yeshua, Yeshua ben Nun, Nar lo yomesh b'toich oil. Now Nun wasn't the Nar, Yeshua was the Nar lo yomesh b'toich oil. Yes, it says Nar lo yomesh b'toich oil after Nun, not after the name Yeshua. So the word Shlita appearing after Shimon is not an indication that it's referring to Shimon. It may go back to Yosef, and it's no raya. The Rishonim ask another question. This question to come up, the Gemara Masechta Ksubis. Let's say I sign an Ksuba. The Chassan, the Kala, are a Kayin or a Levi, and the Shtar says that the Chassan is Yosef ben Shimon a Kayin. So the Gemara Masechta Ksubis says, that fact that I signed the Shtar doesn't mean that I'm saying testimony that Yosef ben Shimon is a Kayin. Because the purpose of my signing the Ksuba is that I should be an aid on the Ksuba, not that he's an aid that chassan is a kayin. So ask the Rishonim, and Al Gemara was saying that if you can't, you need to differentiate between these two individuals. Write that he's a kayin. Write that he's a kayin. How's that going to be a raya? The Edom aren't testifying that he's a kayin. So Rishonim say very interesting teretz. They say, if I, the aid, am aware that in the city there are two Yosef and Shimons, and we need to identify the Yosef ben Shimon and the Shtar by writing the word Kayin, even though normally when an aid signs a Shtar, his signing to the fact that this individual is a Kayin doesn't mean anything. Here I know that my signature means more than just signing to the event that's being testified in the Shtar, and my signature on the fact that he's a Kayin is part of what my aidus is all about. Furthermore, one more verse for the Rishonim, identifying somebody as Yisrael doesn't require saying Yosef ben Shimon HaYisrael. Yosef ben Shimon, without the word Kohen or Levi, the fallback position is always we assume that he's a Yisrael. So in other words, if we're going to have in the city two Yosef ben Shimons, one is a Kohen and one is a Yisrael, we can identify the Yisrael just by writing the words Yosef ben Shimon. Says the Gemara, Hahu Shtara, the Nafik LeBeidina Dav Rav Huna. There was a shtar that was brought out in the Bezner of Huna, that was written in the shtar, Ani Ploini Ben Ploini, Levi Simanim Emcha. I borrowed from you, without identifying the name of the Malva. So the question is this a good shtar or not? And there are two pshatim in the Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara's question. The way we're going to learn is the pshat of the Rashbam, that if you come to me, and you have a shtar that says, you borrowed from me, it doesn't say your name, 100 zuz, Why should I not be able to say, I never borrowed money from you? The shtar is a shtar you found on the street. I shouldn't have to pay you back. That's how the Rashbam learns the Gemara, and that's how we're going to learn the Gemara. Tosfos seems to learn that the issue here is that a shtar has to be muchach mitoichon. The shtar has to be clear. And here the shtar is not clear because it doesn't clearly identify who is the malva. Amar Huna, Rav Huna said, Memcha, when the shtar doesn't clearly identify who is the malva, we need to be concerned filim reish galusa, filim shvamalka. How do I know that you are the malva? And therefore, perhaps the shtar is not a kosher shtar. Amle Rav Chizda l'Rava. So Rav Chizda said to Rava, Puk ayimba, go look into this matter. In the evening, Rav Huna is going to ask you to paskin the shayla. Some say that Rav Huna, this was his way of giving shimush to his talmidim, giving them practical guidance, how they could come up with their own psak. Some say Rav Huna really didn't know the answer, and he wanted Rav to try to come up with a solution to this question. So he found the following braisa. The Tanya, the braisa says, get sheyeshal of edim, if you have a get that has on it edim signed, then by zman. But there is no clear date on the get. Abishol oimer, so says Abishol, im kosbar grishtia hayoy, if all the get says that the get took place today, without today's date being mentioned in the get, kosher. The get is a kosher get. Alma, hayoyim. When it says hayoyim, it means hahu yoyim, the nafak bei mashma. Even though the date isn't mentioned explicitly, it says whatever date it was written on. Hachanami, similarly, by any shtar, even though the name of the malva is not clearly spelled out in the shtar, mimcha, when the shtar uses the word mimcha, we say, mahu gavra the nafak metuse yodei mashma, the one who's presenting the shtar is the malva, and therefore it's a kosher shtar. Amle Abaya. So says Abaya, how can we bring a raya from Gittin to Shtaris? Because Dima Abishol Krivelezer Svirlei. Maybe Abishol holds like a Krivelezer. Dama Edim Sira Karti. We learned, Machlokes Krivelezer Rameya. Who are the critical Edim in the delivery of a get? Rameya says, Edim Chsim Karti. The Edim that sign on the Shtar, on the get, make it into a valid get. And since they are the ones that make it into a valid get, the get has to be 100% clear. And has to have today's date clearly spelled out. Whereas according to Elazar, the get's validity is not dependent on the writing of the get. Of course, there are certain crucial elements that without it you don't have a kosher get. But the date is not one of those crucial elements, even though the Gemara says Masechet Gittin, and so is the halacha. The Rebbe Elazar certainly agrees that lechatchila you have to write the date of the get in the get. But since, according to Rebbe Elazar, it's Edim Sirikarti, it's the Edim that testify, that watch the transmission of the get from the husband to the wife, so the date is not essential. And therefore, by get, not having the date is not going to disqualify the get. Whereas by a shtar, if it doesn't say who is the malva, we always need to be concerned. We always need to be concerned that the shtar is not your shtar. Just somebody else was the malva, and he had that shtar in his pocket, and the shtar fell out, and you picked it up. Dama Abishol Krabalazar Sirli. Dama Edim and Sir Karta. And therefore, as long as you have Edim that see that the husband gave the wife the get, you have a divorce. Aval Hocha in this situation. Leichas Nafila. Why should we not be concerned that he dropped the get? Amalei, the Nafila Nechashina. Chazal were never concerned about that. That somebody just dropped the shtar and somebody else picked it up. Ask the Gemara, not the Leichashina Nafila. From where do we see this concept? The Tanan, Shnaim Shoyabir Achas, you have two people in the same city. The Mishnah we just learned. Shem Echad Yosef Ben Shimon, one individual's name is Yosef Ben Shimon. Shem Achad Yosef Ben Shimon, so too is the name of the other individual. They can't put out a shtar against each other. Nor can anybody present against them a shtar as if they owe money. Let's say you have an individual, Yosef Ben Shimon. Yosef Ben Shimon, who's named in the shtar, can present the shtar to somebody else, can present the shtar against me, he could take out a shtar and say, I owe money for mine. Why could you, Yosef ben Shimon, present the shtar that I owe you money? Why can't I say to you, Lechash nefila, the shtar, I don't owe you money. I owe all the Yosef ben Shimon money. And that Yosef ben Shimon dropped the shtar. Ask the Gemara, even if there's no concern of the nefila, why should we not be concerned that we kodden? Maybe one Yosef ben Shimon left the shtar for safekeeping, but the other Yosef ben Shimon, and why can't I claim this is not, you're not the person I owe the money to? The person I owe the money to left the shtar by you for safekeeping. So we shouldn't say very beautiful teretz. If you have two individuals in the city that have the exact same name, Yosef ben Shimon, and one Yosef ben Shimon has a shtar that somebody owes him money, and for whatever reason he needs somebody to watch it, he may ask anybody in the city to watch it, but he's not going to ask anybody else with the exact same name to watch it, because you're asking for trouble. But if we're concerned for the nefila, why here are we not concerned for nefila? Elav shmamina, nefila lechashinen. Chazal were concerned. And therefore here too, when you present to me a shtar that says that I owe you money, even though your name, the malva, doesn't appear in the shtar, we don't have to be concerned that somebody else dropped it and you picked it up. Abaya, Abaya who did say that we are concerned that the malva dropped it and somebody else picked it up. I, our mission is a clear raya that we're not concerned for that. Answers the Gemara. Abaya l'nefila d'chad l'chashinen, l'nefila d'rabim chashinen. If there's two people that have the exact same name, so if one Yosef ben Shimon dropped the shtar, he knows we're the first place that he has to go look for his shtar, but the other Yosef ben Shimon. And therefore, if he dropped the shtar, he knows where to go to complain, to look, to be concerned, and put out a claim. Nobody paid that Yosef ben Shimon because he picked up my shtar. But if the shtar says Mimcha, the Malva's name doesn't appear at all in the shtar. So if I lose a shtar, that I'm the Malva, and my name doesn't appear in it, no name appears in it, there's a real concern that anybody could pick it up. And that's where Abaye is concerned for Nefila, and that's why Abaye says that the Shtar just says Nimcha, without clearly identifying the Malva's name, is disqualified.